Welcome into the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for finding us on your favorite podcast app. We recommend Spotify, especially now. Been some issues with Apple Podcasts of late. You can get Spotify on both platforms, Apple or Android. Just search for Five on the Floor. Also, you can find us on Dash Radio. Download the Dash Radio app for free and search for the Nothing But Net channel. We're there every single day at 7 p.m. Also, make sure you check out FiveReasonsSports.com. Spell it out, F-I-V-E, ReasonSports.com for all of our latest stories about the South Florida teams, including those takeaways from Brady Hawk that show up just as the buzzer sounds, sometimes before. It's like you can predict the future. And we want to thank the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network, including one of the sponsors of this particular episode. That's our friend Chris over at Chase Signs. This is a new sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network. Chase Signs and Graphics is a full service sign company that's located right here in Broward County. Chris Chase, the CEO of Chase Signs and Graphics, has been designing, building, and installing signs for 20 years. He knows how to make your business stand out from the crowd and not only promote your brand, but also attract new customers by raising company awareness. Exterior building signs, promotional signs, window graphics, and vehicle graphics help promote your business or services. Chase Signs offers a wide range of signage, including storefront, sandblasted signs, interior office signage, channel letters, promotional advertising, monuments, job site signage, and feather flags. You're going to see some of this Five Reasons stuff out there pretty soon, I can promise you. So have South Florida's premier sign company custom design your sign. They service all of Broward County. That's all the way from Deerfield all the way down to Miramar. Why wait? Call for a quote today, 954-791-8685. That's 954-791-8685. Call Chase Signs and Graphics today. The Twitter handle is at Signs Broward. That's S-I-G-N-S Broward. Again, 954-791-8685. And now, today's episode.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. On the floor. Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily show on the Miami Heat and the NBA featuring Ethan Skolnick with Alex Toledo and Greg Sylvander, part of the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back on Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks again for finding us. Today's floor plan, we got an opportunity to talk to former NBA executive. Now, he is one of the people in the media who sort of evaluates what the other executives do. You can find him. Is it what I always get this right? Is it B Marks 42? Is that correct?
It is Bobby Marks 42, I believe.
All right. So
you know what? Well, by the end of this podcast, Ethan, I will be able to tell you exactly what it's. It is Bobby Marks 42. I think maybe, you know what? It's funny. I think I just went on TikTok and started an account, and that's a story for another day. And I think that's B Marks 42. Yeah, I know. Right.
The world we live in. That's not a story for another day, because I have a daughter who's 6 and a half who asked me about TikTok the other day. And I'm like, Instagram and Snapchat are enough, sweetie. Why are you on TikTok?
I've been told it's a different generation of untapped potential. How's that sound?
Wow. That's a very positive way of framing it up.
Well, I have a 14-year-old who's looking at me. I got like three heads. I'm like, why are you on TikTok? And I've tried to be politically correct about why I'm on. So we'll see how it goes. And if it works, it does. Great. And if it doesn't, then we'll stick to Instagram and Twitter.
Greg, we're going to go on TikTok after the show. Already on Snapchat, I'm considered just for going on. You know, I've actually found young contributors for our network on Snapchat, but everybody thinks you're there for the wrong reason if you're too old. All right, let's get right to it, Bobby. We got three major themes we want to get to today. Again, you can follow him at Bobby Marks 42 on Twitter, we think. If not, he'll let us know here later in the show. He has been on with us before. He's great. We took a bunch of questions from everybody. But before we do, you threw your all-star selections out there on Twitter today. Whenever you do that, you're going to get heat.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. So before we get to your most controversial selections, I think Mike Conley was one of them. Yeah. How many did you hit on? How many didn't come in the way you thought?
Well, I know I missed on Bam, right? I had Bam on there. I had Chris Middleton. I had DeMar DeRozan on there. And I had Mike Conley. So I think I missed out on four guys. And I didn't have AD on there just because I knew he was going to get, you know, selected, but then, you know, he's hurt. So he's going to be eventually replaced. But those were the four. Probably my biggest surprise is Bam. And also Mike Conley. I think those are the two ones. And, you know, I was delayed getting on with you guys because I had to tape something for SportsCenter. And basically my theme was that, you know, we saw some of these head coaches basically pick players that maybe had a little bit more, you know, stats wise on the court compared to, I guess, team success a little bit. Zach LaVine, Zion Williamson, for sure. You know, guys like that instead of Devin Booker, Mike Conley. So Bam, I would say, and not just because this is a Heat focused pod, that I think Bam was probably my biggest shocker out of other groups, the guys that did not make it.
I'm really interested to hear you say that. Bobby, thanks for joining us, by the way. You know, because team record, I felt like, is what hurt Miami in this situation. Yeah. I feel like Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo are locks on the All-Star team if Miami is even within striking distance of a top 4 or 5 seed. And obviously, Jimmy's been out a lot. Do you think that in retrospect, when the season is over, that they're going to look back and kind of maybe not seeing Jimmy and Bam there is going to stick out like a sore thumb? I guess I'm cutting to the chase and asking you, do you think the Heat have a run in them that's going to make these selections look a little foolish?
I do think they still have a run in them. You know, I have my big trade guides comes out on Thursday, and you know, there's certainly a section in there about the Heat and everything. And that's kind of my focus is that, you know, sellers, buyers, neither, stay pat as is, you know, and with Miami, I think there is a run in them because I think there's so much of, you know, I guess the underachieving or disappointment has been, you know, Jimmy's been in the lineup, you know, for 19 games, Gordon's been out, COVID. Yeah, I mean, how many different starting lineups has this team had? Kendrick in, Kendrick out, Tyler hurt. I mean, there's so many, and not to make excuses, but they've gone through a lot so far. And I think they're still hanging in there. They're not, you know, you don't get buried in the Eastern Conference unless you're, you know, I guess Detroit or probably not even Washington now, but yeah, I do believe they still have a run in them. And I think it's funny, guys, when we talk about the All-Star process, it's like, there's a trend where coaches, like, it feels like they stop watching like to a 2 weeks left in the selection process. And, you know, I think the way that Jimmy's played, and I am sure certainly think that they, because of how many games he missed. And, you know, I mean, if you put Bam on Orlando, you know, he's going to have the same production as Vucevic, because I think around Nikola, there's less players for him to, and he has to do so much more of the heavy lifting here. So I do think they held it against them a little bit, probably on that slow start, you know, that in the middle of the season.
Well, specifically on Bam, though, here's why I think both guys didn't get in. And I was talking to somebody who's close to one of them who was shocked. And I kept telling this person over the past week, I don't think they're getting a guy. And he's like, no, I think they're getting two. I said, I don't think they're getting a guy. And I think you're right about what you said about the coaches stop paying attention with 2 weeks left, because I do feel like a decision was made on Jimmy prior to the West Coast trip. Like, you know, the West Coast trip, he has the 4 triple doubles. They win 4 out of 7 games. It could have been a 6-1 trip, but I feel like the decision was made. He hasn't played enough and that's it. But I feel like the opposite worked against Bam, which is that when Jimmy was out, the team wasn't successful. And I think that Bam got blamed for a little bit of that. When you stack the numbers, there were really 4 bigs for those 2 spots for the bigs, I thought, which was Bam, Vucevic, Randall, and Sabonis. I actually think they picked the wrong 2. I would have gone with Bam and Sabonis. I don't think I don't think it's a dramatic difference. Randall's had a great year, no question. He's unlocked a lot of the things that people talked about with him 3 or 4 years ago. But if you put Bam on the Knicks, what does that look like? And Sabonis, that team has managed to tread water without Oladipo, you know, since the trade. They didn't get the benefit of LeVert. Warren got hurt early. And they've still, you know, they're still there in the Eastern Conference. They have, slightly, but they have a winning record right now. I would have gone Sabonis and Bam. And the other one is, I don't know how you take 2 Celtics with their record. Yeah. I don't know. I would have. Now, did you? I think you did.
I did. I did take them, and it's, you know, I mean, Tatum – and they've, you know, they certainly have struggled down the back end here. So I did take Tatum, and I thought, if you were going to ask me, you can only pick one, I would have probably picked Jaylen Brown over Tatum. I think he had probably more of a complete season here. So yeah, I mean, I think what happened in the Eastern Conference too, is that, you know, when you have Simmons, Ben Simmons, Zach LaVine, and you know, those two guys make it as guards, and the front courts were loaded. You know, I mean, when you just talked, you mentioned the four, you could probably throw Gordon Hayward in the mix there too. You know, he was having a pretty solid, there's going to be one of these two or now two of these guys out. You could have made a case for Middleton, but although he kind of, you know, started to falter a little bit, and that team struggled a little bit on the back end here. But yeah, I mean, there's a case to be made for a lot of players. I think the one thing that in the league should look at is that, like, we're stuck on this 12 number, right? Like we don't play with 12 guys. The active rosters are 13, 14 players here. You know, normal standard rosters are 15. Like, it's like an antiquated system that we're picking 12, and it's probably going to be like that for a long time.
No, that's so true. And especially, like, you look in the Western Conference, and I know that the LeBron James tweet that you responded to is getting a lot of buzz regarding Devin Booker.
Well, those are the rules, Greg, right? Like,
it is true. It's like, who are you taking off?
If you say, and I hate the two words I hate are tanking and snub, right? So if you say, all right, Trae Young got snubbed, okay, then who's coming off? You got to say it, man. You got to say, like, so for me, if it was like, yeah, I think Nikola Vucevic should come off and Bam should replace him. So, hey, if LeBron wants to go out there and say Devin Booker got snubbed or were disrespected, let me know, who's, is it going to be his guy, Chris Paul? Is that who's going to come off there?
Or
could it be just Zion?
Zion.
But he'll never call out another player. But those, you know, those are the unofficial rules there.
LeBron has, from my time covering him, he has wanted 32 players from each conference on the All-Star team. And if you didn't pick all of them, then somehow you were snubbing somebody. That's just kind of the way it went. And so I'm not surprised at that. But no, he doesn't want Chris Paul off the team. And to me, you can't make a case for Chris Paul not being on the team.
Yeah.
When you see the dramatic effect that he had on Phoenix after the dramatic effect he had in OKC, that's about more than just the numbers. All right, so Bobby, you were wrong about everything. I was wrong about everything. Ron's right about everything.
I tell you what, I've never, and I try to stay away from the opinionated polls or putting stuff out there, but I mean, I took a peek at my mentions a little bit, and I was like, oh my God, it's just an all-star selection process. People are calling me, like, I was like going to get security around my house because I had so many Phoenix Suns fans mad at me because I didn't have Devin Booker there.
Yeah, no, that's the way it works. I know. I mean, NBA Twitter, I mean, I literally put up a poll 24 hours ago about who is a better all-around player at this stage, Kelly Olynyk or Boogie Cousins, and I've never seen reactions like this in my life. 5,000 votes, and it ended up 50.5% to 49.5% in favor of Boogie, which I don't necessarily agree with.
Wow. Yeah. I'd take Kelly O right now.
I would too, and people are passionate about it. All right, when we come back, we're going to get into what everybody wants us to get into, which is the Heat and their position right now. We'll get back to our episode with Bobby Marks in a second, but before we do, we tell you about the sponsor all the time because they're one of our original sponsors with us from the beginning. They believed in us. We believe in them. They got an office right there in North Miami. And look, if you've got an issue, you're hurt in a car accident, you got a slip and fall, got an immigration thing that you need to take care of, you got to reach out to the law offices of Seltzer Mayberg. You can find them at 855-5000-LAW. That's 855-5000-LAW, or go to onecalllegal.com. That's onecalllegal.com. That's something you do 24 hours a day. Again, they got that 24/7 availability. They'll make sure that you work directly with the right attorney to get you the compensation that you deserve. They got great people down there. Eric, Cassandra, David. Yeah, he's a great person too. Mendy, all of them. Reach out to the Seltzer Mayberg Law Firm. Again, it's 855-5000-LAW, onecalllegal.com. And here's the biggest thing. If you mention Five Reasons, you're going to get a free consultation. Okay. So make sure you mention Five Reasons that you heard about them with us. You probably have, because again, it's been a couple of years that they've been with us. So it's a Seltzer Mayberg Law Firm, 855-5000-LAW. All right, right back on Five on the Floor. We got Bobby Marks. Again, you can follow him. I verified it during the break. Bobby Marks, 42. You can check out his mentions, too, especially if you're from Phoenix. I'm not going to tell you where he lives, although I know. All right, let's get to the Heat. They're in an interesting position right now. They just played in the NBA Finals. Whether or not Colin Coward thinks it was a bubble fluke or not, the fact is they did get to the NBA Finals. There were high expectations this season. You talked about it. COVID, I think they kind of got screwed by the league with some of the way that that was handled. They obviously have had separate injuries to Hero and Dragic, which have kept them from developing a flow. Then you have Avery Bradley, one of their primary offseason acquisition, has had first COVID and then an injury. They've gotten nothing out of Mo Harkless, who they signed in the offseason. They've integrated Precious, but probably given him too many minutes, and they've got Andre Iguodala at age 37 playing crunch time minutes at the four, which I don't think is something they anticipated. In your view, with where they are right now, as we talk, 14 and 17, is it 13 or 14? I always get confused. Where are we right now, Greg?
We're going to give them 14 if it's by my count.
No, we're 13. Okay. I was right. 13 and 17, 4-3 on the trip, coming home to play Toronto and Utah, and then a couple against Atlanta. If you were the Heat right now, would you push forward, try to make a move to sort of upgrade yourself at this point? Or would you do what one of our colleagues at the network says, which is take the step back and kind of recharge yourself, for get as many assets as you can for the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, you're in an interesting spot because on one hand, you know, I guess you could say in that seller mode, but, you know, you don't have your own draft pick, right? So that's going to, you know, that's going to Oklahoma City in that, you know, via the, I guess, the Dragic trade. On the other hand, you basically have the same roster as last year, but you have swapped Jay Crowder out for two players that have really given you nothing, right? Avery Bradley and Mo Harkless, for those two guys here. For me, I'm moving forward with this group here, at least for the next, you know, four or five months here. And then I'm going to reevaluate kind of where I am with Goran and Iguodala, and, you know, it's probably, you know, Myers, that option is probably not going to be exercised. You know, those guys that have player options, Avery's in that mix here. I think there's still a core nucleus that can compete. Can it compete against the big boys like Brooklyn and Philly? I'd like to see Miami in a 7-game series defensively when things get, you know, I think that team is in Miami is tested. I don't believe the bubble was a fluke. You know, I think especially how you go through, and it was such a grind. So for me, I'm moving forward. I'm not a seller at all. I think the big question is that what happens if there's a deal out there where Miami can take back money that goes into 2021 and it's going to take away some of your cap space, but it's going to make you better now. You know, would Pat and Andy do that? And they've been so careful with that to an extent, but they did extend Bam. You know, Giannis is not there anymore. Most of these free agents are off the board. I mean, probably the big name is, I guess, Oladipo and, you know, Kawhi, a couple of restricted guys like John Collins. But I think that's going to be my big question, is that how aggressive are you with some of these guys that I call kind of on expiring contracts that have these team options for next year?
Bobby, I'm glad that you said that they're not going to be sellers and that they should look towards winning, because I am the never tank guy on this podcast, always about the culture. And also, like you said it earlier in this show, like the East will never run away from you, right? So you're always going to be within striking distance. I think right now they're two games out of, you know, a four seed. So there's no way that the team, especially the way Miami and that front office operates, is going to become sellers. But you've kind of honed in on something, and we were going to save it for later, but because you brought it up now, I want to go here. And that is, you talked about the 2021 plans for Miami and what it was going to kind of shape up to look like for the Heat and the flexibility. And would they be open-minded to maybe foregoing some of that flexibility to get better immediately? This is all, to me, it ties back to the Giannis chase, and everyone was looking at 2021. And from the Heat's perspective, it was widely discussed about Bam Adebayo and Giannis Antetokounmpo sharing an agent. And I'm interested to pick your brain here because there's been a lot of talk about Miami maybe having a little bit of a notion or a window into what Giannis was thinking in terms of a max extension because he shared an agent with Bam. Is that really, is that realistic that the Heat could have had some intel on what was going on there? Because just when we look back at the offseason, it appears as if the Heat were preparing for 2021, and now it looks like that offseason's kind of dried up.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you talk about Giannis and a potential match with the Heat, was there, I guess what we call it, insider trading that his agent Alex Saretz has kind of gave the Heat an indication that Giannis was going to go back to Milwaukee? I don't think so. I think when you look at the timing of when Bam got the signed his extension and when Giannis eventually agreed to commit long-term, there were still some a couple of weeks in between there where both sides were still meeting in Milwaukee there. I think if from Miami's perspective, it was, we need to take care of our own. We have done it before and we can do it again. We are the masters of going out and creating cap space. And if Giannis wants to come to Miami in the 2021 offseason, that we'll find a way how to create that room.
And to that end, I mean, looking at that, the rest of that class, Bobby, you mentioned it, there's not a lot left. Oladipo, I mean, we kept hyping this class like 2010 was hyped, but 2010 ended up playing out, right? LeBron made it to free agency. Bosh made it to free agency. Dwayne kind of made it to free agency. I mean, there were meetings, right? Joe Johnson made it to free agency. I mean, they all made it to Boozer, Stoudemire. This time around, very few of them are making it to free agency. I mean, it's hard to get excited about Oladipo when the fact is the Heat kind of turned their nose at him last year because they really weren't impressed with the way he handled himself in the series against them and were a little bit concerned about his health. He's already been traded once since. I mean, if he's the prize, did the Heat and other teams kind of misjudge the 2021 class? And did COVID and kind of what happened with obviously revenue differences and all the rest play into the fact that maybe some of these guys didn't hit the market?
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly COVID played a big role as far as the finances and where the cap was going to go and how it's basically kind of flatlined. And I think we saw so many players sign extensions in the offseason, basically securing that long-term, flexibility. I mean, even guys like Anthony Davis, who we had thought maybe was going to do a two-year deal and go back in free agency, committed 5 years. LeBron committed, Paul George committed, Rudy Gobert committed. The rookie extensions, we mentioned Bam, Jason Tatum, Donovan Mitchell, De'Aaron Fox, all committed. And it removed a good portion of this 2021 class. It is not a good class, guys. It really isn't. I'm actually working on an article about cap space for next year. And I started putting my free agents together and it's like, I feel like I was doing it. We went through the previous year, this past off season. And so it is not a great group. And that's why I brought up that question earlier is like, if there is a move out there that can make you better, but you were going to sacrifice your cap space, I think it's probably something that Miami should think about.
All right, Bobby, so what's an example? Like when you're going down that road, just and obviously loosely speaking, a deal where you take on salary that would prohibit flexibility. Like where are you leaning there?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, if you go through some of these rosters and stuff like that, I mean, I'll give you an example. Let's say if Memphis and if they want to get rid of like Dylan Brooks, right? Just a pure example, right? There's no ties. I got no insider information and they want to get off his money. He's got 3 years left, 2 years after this year, 12-2, 11-4. And they say to Miami, you know what? We'll take back Myers Leonard and we want a future pick that's protected. I know that the picks are all crazy. What Miami has, like, is that something would Miami consider, right? Taking the $12 million cap hit and kind of eating into your space for next year, because, what we thought was at 32 is like, really kind of like between 24 and $28 million in room.
Okay. So let me get to another one here related to that, because as we talk about making a trade to get better for now, you also have to take into account contracts that are coming up, right? So two guys on the Heat who have money due to them, who have been incredibly great bargains for the Heat, Duncan Robinson and Kendrick Nunn, particularly Duncan, but obviously Kendrick has kind of fixed things and he's gotten back to a level he was at last year. Would you look, let's start with Duncan. For you, is Duncan Robinson, we just saw what Bertans got in free agency. Yeah. It hasn't worked out very well, but is Duncan Robinson to you a player that you would commit north of $16-18 million to? And if not, Bobby, is that a guy that maybe you look to move now rather than later?
Yeah, it's a big number. You're right. Bertans has not played. He had one really good game, 36, I think he went out, but there's a lot of 4-for-11 nights, 5-for-14 nights there. It's, 15 to $16 million, for a shooter is a big commitment. It really is. I think it's going to be interesting as far as, is there a team out there that is going to come in with a whopper of an offer sheet for Duncan? San Antonio, New York, Oklahoma City, teams like that, that are going to have, significant room. I don't know if I'm willing to go out and put him on the market, before March 25th, even if I'm hesitant as far as what his cost is going to be. I think that restricted free agent tag protects you. It protects you up to a point, of course, until that team comes in with an offer sheet here. So yeah, I think, you never know what the price market of a player is going to be until you kind of get into free agency, who's going to have the room. But even if I'm lukewarm as far as committing $16-17 million for him, I'm probably not going to be, putting out a lot of feelers here. I think the interesting thing is, and I know we've talked about cap space and stuff, and both these guys are extension eligible, and we get, I think in April, before this season ends, do they even, they've got, Duncan's got a $4.7 million hold, does the Heat go out and explore, extending him, and would he even take it? Probably not. If you're going to risk, $8 million in room here. So I think, yes, good thing is that they're protected by free agency. I think also, Ethan, the great thing is that these guys were signed to these 3-year contracts. I mean, can you imagine if they were on these 2-year deals and, it's probably, we don't have enough time to talk about early bird and what, basically the Tyler Johnson type contract that the Heat were dealing with for forever. I mean, that's what you would have been dealing with a player like Duncan.
Well, that's sort of Andy's wizardry,
yeah,
to a certain degree, that they locked him up with 3 years. I want Greg to get in a second, but I got one more question, because as we talk about Duncan and Nunn, this concept of sell high comes in. Like last night, Kendrick Nunn had a great road trip. He pretty much saved the Heat on that road trip to a large degree because they didn't have Dragic, and obviously they didn't have Hero at the end of it. He plays great, and so I poll it to Heat fans. Okay, would you keep Kendrick at this point? Because I feel like every time Kendrick has a good game, people are putting him in the trade machine. Okay.
Yeah.
But it's like, would you keep Kendrick at this point and start him? Would you keep him as a rotation player, or would you sell high? And 65% said sell high.
Yeah.
I'm just curious, as somebody who was in a front office, the concept of sell high, because you're also dealing with chemistry issues, how a guy fits on a team, what he's worth to you. But you also don't want to hold on to a player too long and not get value for him. I mean, how do you view Nunn? I mean, Duncan to a degree, but how do you view Nunn in that?
Yeah, it's funny. I was thinking about that, and it wasn't regarding the Heat. It's like, I'm thinking of a guy like Jeremy Grant in Detroit, right? Like, they signed him to a 3-year, $60 million. The guy's playing like an all-star, but do you sell? Right? Do you sell right now? And if you can get maybe two number ones for him, something like that. And I think the beauty of it is that what you've seen in Oklahoma City with Sam Presti is that, and I wrote about it, is that there's like an alarm clock that goes off, right? Like, there's an alarm clock that goes off when it's time for Sam to trade a player when his value is at the all-time high. If it was Chris Paul, as far as reestablishing him, if it was, Paul George, one of these other guys, it's funny how Sam kind of has operated, in that realm there. So sell high on Kendrick, who's got a, half a year left, restricted free agent, whoever acquires him, probably going to have to pay a little bit. I just don't know if his value is probably where it is now compared to maybe it was a year ago. I think if you were going to sell, you would have probably done it pre-COVID when he was flying high and, racking up rookie of the months and everything.
Yeah, it's so close. It's so hard to know when to do that. And the Heat historically have not been a team that has, sold on guys that have bought into what they do there. I'm interested. You hit on Sam Presti, and it made me think about all the players on that roster that are essentially kind of just sitting there waiting for a contender to say, come and make an offer, whether it's George Hill or Trevor Ariza, who's like working out in Miami away from.
Well, how about Al Horford? We all thought that was like, it was like a dead contract and it was, abysmal and stuff. And now they got Al playing at the right position. He's playing well. And yeah, it's still a big number, but it's not as bad as it was probably when he was in a Sixer uniform.
You're right. He looks a lot better. So this is where I'm going here. There's situations like that. You have Andre Drummond, who's away from his team because they've, mutually decided that that's what they're going to do to move him. Blake Griffin as well. So there's like all these scenarios. I feel like around the league, there is players to be had. And to me, it feels like just bubbling below the surface is a ton of movement that's coming just by virtue of the fact that you have so many of these players that are basically non-functional in the franchises that they're with and need to be moved. Do you anticipate a really active trade deadline on March 25th?
I kind of go both ways on it. There's some, there's part of me that say we're going to be kind of quiet because of how the play-in tournament has, made it more realistic for, certainly for teams qualifying. So if you are Charlotte and Chicago, teams that would kind of be in that, probably out of it, those teams are competing for, one of these play-in spots. Certainly out West, the same thing with like New Orleans, who maybe would be sellers. Sacramento is another. I think there's value for teams like Sacramento to just try to get into the play-in tournament here. So for right now, I think where I'm leaning more towards it being quiet, but I think that certainly could change because we still have a month to go. And, if Sacramento continues to lose, I think there'll be guys on that roster available. On the other end, we're always in it. And I talked about it with San Antonio. We're always in that notion that, just because you have a DeMar DeRozan and there's probably the uncertainty that he re-signs with you, sometimes you're just better off just keeping these guys because you have such a young roster and getting into a playoff series and, being a number six seed sometimes values a little bit more if you can get halfway decent player and maybe you get a second round pick there. So, but I do think we're still in that, trying to figure it out. Like Toronto is one of those teams which intrigued me because that thing was sinking. And now I think they're back to 500. I thought maybe they could be a seller. What happens with Kyle Lowry? He's making $30.5 million. Could he be out in the trade market if things were going, south there because they're winning. Now they're winning without Kyle on the court. So that kind of intrigues me here. But yeah, I do think we're probably in a little bit of a slow period when it comes to trades, just because there's so many teams that have traded out first round picks. We've seen so many players that have signed extensions or, the other thing is that, teams like LA and the Clippers and the Lakers and the Bucks, you guys saw firsthand last year how hard the hard cap is, right? I mean, we all went through it like we're counting like pennies to the dollar that, if the Lakers want to go out and get PJ Tucker, it's not easy, man. It is not easy when you're, 1.8 below the hard cap and you basically got to trade out like three or four players. So I think the buyout market is going to be pretty wild. I really do. I think, Blake is going to be a good name, but how much does Blake give back of that 50 plus million? Drummond is going to be interesting if they go into buyout, because I think it's hard to cobble together a deal to trade for a guy like, Andre Drummond. What happens with some of these guys in Oklahoma City that you just mentioned? Trevor Ariza is a pretty interesting name. So I think we're probably going to get probably more action in that buyout market than probably the trade market.
All right, one more ad, and then we're literally going to do rapid fire with Bobby for 3 minutes. I got a bunch of these names. Some of them you've tipped us off on, but I've got some other ones here after a word from another of our sponsors. One more segment coming up with Bobby Marks of ESPN. Before we get to it, I want to tell you about another of our sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. You know this sponsor, but we've got a new code. If you bet on sports, this is the place to go. I switched from another platform. This is first thing. This one is the best platform. They've got the most to bet on. They've got the most props. Second thing is, and this is a big thing when you're doing this kind of stuff, you get your money in a timely fashion, okay? They take care of you. You're not going to have to go through a whole bunch of hoops. It's mybookie.ag. Again, it's mybookie.ag. You can also follow them on Twitter at mybookiebet. You can bet on anything. You can do the live betting. So, look, if the Heat fall behind, well, that's not usually what happens. If the Heat go ahead in the first half, okay, and in halftime they're leading, but you got a bad feeling about that third quarter, well, you might want to place a bet against them in the live betting. So you can do just about anything on their platform. Again, it's mybookie.ag, but we want to tell you we changed the code. We've made it a little bit easier for you to align with some of our other cones. It's just five. That's it. F-I-V-E, and you'll get a bonus of up to 50% of up to $1,000 initial deposit. So 50% up to $1,000 initial deposits. So that's a lot of extra money that you can play with. Mybookie.ag. Again, bet NBA. When MLB comes back, you can do that. You can bet NHL right now. Bet college basketball. That's the place to go. Use the code 5 to make sure that you get that bonus. F-I-V-E. And now back to today's episode. All right, Ethan Skolnick back on Five on the Floor with Bobby Marks of ESPN and also of Greg Sylvander of Five Reasons Sports, as you know. All right, let's do this. You mentioned a couple of these names, so I'll skip over those. Maybe we'll end later, but get yours ready, Greg, because I've got some of the players that we've talked about. Lonzo Ball, is he traded, and what's the best fit for him?
I think he stays. I do. I think he stays in New Orleans. But as we talked about with Duncan, if you're David Griffin, like, you better have a comfort level as far as what you're going to pay him. I think it'd be intriguing to see him in New York. I really do. I think that would intrigue the heck out of me. And they've got the assets if they want to go out and do that. And they've got those two Dallas picks, and they've got their own first. You know, they're one of those few teams that still has all their picks there. So I think he stays, but I would be really intrigued to see him in a Knicks uniform.
Bobby, okay, so let's pivot to back to the Miami Heat. Rudy Gay, do you think he would be a viable option for them that would be a short-term fit that could kind of help as a front court complement to Bam?
You know what? He's having a good year. He really is. I mean, their bench with him and Patty Mills, the two players coming off the bench there, has really performed well. I think it's a matter of, I do think there would be a fit there. I really do. I think, you know, he's an interesting name and he's on an expiring contract. So he kind of fits in that direction that which you're looking, you're looking to go there. It's making 14 and a half there. So but here's the question. Like, if you can go out and get a Rudy Gay and it's going to cost you Myers, Leonard, and Kendrick Nunn, would you do it? Right? Like, that's the hard part of that, being in that front office, just because you don't have some of those draft assets to try to, put into a deal. And then on the other end, you know, from San Antonio's perspective, hey, we're sitting in the fifth seed or sixth seed, you know, we're basically taking one of our key bench guys off, send them off. And does that hurt us for the short term here? So those are the type of things that both of these front offices would kind of ask themselves, like, who on your roster, if you're Miami, to go out and get a Rudy Gay besides one of these big numbers to get close to the number is going to be expendable if you don't have a draft pick to kind of include.
Oladipo, does he finish the season in Houston?
I don't think he does. But it's another guy, you know, $21 million, right? Like if I was Boston, right? And I've talked about this. I mentioned it earlier. You know, like, we got killed in New Jersey and Brooklyn, rightfully so, for the Pierce deal, Garnett deal, right? Because we took this, you know, the unprotected ones and the swaps, and it was a high risk move. But you guys have seen it. Like, if you want to go try to win a championship here, like, you saw it in Miami, paying the luxury tax, going to get Chris and LeBron and trading out the ones. We've seen it in Toronto getting Kawhi. We're seeing it in Brooklyn with Harden. You know, Golden State's paid out the nose in luxury tax, same as Cleveland with LeBron. Like, you got to go out and take some chances here. So, like, I would be interested in Boston going out and going to get Oladipo. even if it cost you a protected one, you'd have to send out some money because of the hard cap there. But I have a hard time believing that he'll finish in Houston here.
Yeah, Oladipo. I also feel like PJ Tucker is another guy that would fall into that mix as a player that could be maybe packaged along with Victor Oladipo. And Miami has been a team that's been on that radar as well. So I'm going to circle back to a guy we've already talked about. Do you think that there's a chance Al Horford actually gets moved again? The player that nobody thought could get moved gets moved again before the deadline?
I don't think the alarm clock has gone off for Sam Presti yet. I don't think so. I think the only way that he gets moved is if Danny Ainge wants him and is willing to kind of absorb 26 and a half, which is partially protected. Half of that is protected in 22, 23. Does Danny Ainge want to be in a luxury tax next year? He didn't want to do it when, you know, he could have traded Gordon Hayward and got back, you know, Miles Turner and Doug McDermott, you know, because he didn't want that Miles Turner contract here. And you'd have to send out probably Tristan Thompson in there. So I think if Danny Ainge wants Al Horford, Danny Ainge can go out and get Al Horford. But it's just a matter of kind of what is the price they're willing to pay as far as the luxury tax and trading out, you know, probably wouldn't cost you a future one to take back that money, but trading out Thompson and probably a second, but you're going to be paying out the nose here.
All right. We'll close here. And again, Bobby, we appreciate your time. Bobby Marks, 42. You mentioned a former All-Star in Horford. I'm going to cheat a little bit. I got a handful of names, so you can just answer these quickly if you want. You mentioned Kyle Lowry, another former All-Star. I believe coming into tonight, the Raptors had won their last 16 games without Kyle. Does he finish the season, I would say, with Toronto, but it's actually Tampa?
I think he does. I think he finishes in Tampa, Toronto, whatever we want to call them. I think the only wild card in this would be like maybe like a team like Philadelphia, mm-hmm. that kind of comes in here just because they've got that big Danny Green number. But that's another team, like, you know, how do you get to $24 million to take back Kyle Lowry? Because he makes, you know, 30 and change here. So yeah, I do think he finishes. I think the only way he doesn't is if he goes to management and says, hey, it's been a good run. You know, I've done all I can with this roster. We're in good shape right now with Fred and Pascal and Boucher and Norm and OG. There's a good foundation in place. Like, I want to go to a team that we think that I think can go win a championship. And it would be maybe Philly, but it's hard kind of getting to that number. And, you know, these 3-for-1 deals, 4-for-1 deals, you know, now you're adding a third or fourth team in there.
Well, we've heard actually the three teams that might interest him. You mentioned one of them, Philadelphia. The other two might be the Clippers and Miami. So that's another reason we're keeping an eye on this. And I guess we'll close here. Kevin Love and Kristaps Porzingis, two, again, former All-Stars. Do either of these guys change teams?
No, I don't. I don't think, you know, I think Kevin's got to come on the court and play. He still has a ton of money left. And, you know, it's funny, we heard the rumor, right, Porzingis, you know, that they were gouging the market, Golden State, they called Golden State, and then you go on social media, and some guy's like, you know, I wouldn't even trade Andrew Wiggins for him right now. I was like, oh my God, it's like, has Kristaps Porzingis fallen that far that, you know, you're not even swapping, you know, a guy like Andrew Wiggins? So I don't think neither player are moved. I think it's going to be, those are two names when we get into the offseason, especially if, you know, Dallas gets into the playing game and loses. I think you've got to reevaluate kind of where you are and if Kristaps it can be that number two guy to where Luka, you know, is right now.
All right, Bobby, we appreciate it. We did not make you trade Devin Booker for 2 second-round picks tonight, so we won't get the Phoenix fans after you. Again, we appreciate all the time and look forward to seeing you at Heat games again in the future if we ever can do that. But thanks, Bobby.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Regional Sports Network.
C Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.